Welcome to The Pragmatic Pagan. Here we explore an inclusive pagan path via science-based witchcraft, no deities included. With a focus on nature and energy, this spiritual practice is centered on lunar tides and seasonal cycles. Check the link tree in the bio for lots of great resources. Merry meet all. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest of America, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will. As within, so without. As above, so below. As I am, so mote it be. The Pragmatic Pagan participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support Indigenous communities in your area. I also encourage you to take an active stance in environmental issues, both at home and worldwide. Our planet needs its stewards, now more than ever. It can be as simple as picking up trash in your neighborhood, using less water, and buying local goods. Check out the link tree in the bio for more great ways to connect with our planet and give back. Merry meet, listeners. This episode has been a moment in the making, largely because I have rewritten and reworked it several times, like at least five times, and in the process hit a moment of reckoning in my spirituality, just to be honest. I couldn't talk to you about cultural appropriation and decolonization without feeling I had truly done the work myself, or at least gotten started. And each time I learned more, it instigated an episode rewrite, which had me asking more questions, which triggered more learning and digging deeper into my own practice, and honestly, the future of this podcast. As a white woman, I am trying to be intricately aware of if my voice should be the one saying the words, or if you need to hear it from the source. And Lauren O'Brien, a founder and teacher at the Irish Pagan School, iterates, "Go to the source." So with those words in mind, this episode is really about the journey here, to this moment, and what happens next. I can only speak to my experience and the path that I am on. Your path will undoubtedly be different and based around the practices that you include in your spiritual toolkit. As I share my journey, I will share the sources that I am turning to learn. But I am not going to quote those sources or make it easy for you. I am simply going to ask you to do the work as I am doing. Because it is only through that work that we begin to understand. So settle in. Let's begin. Resource links are available in the link tree, so pull that up. Please use them. These episodes mean nothing without them. They are the voices guiding these revelations. I started writing the episode focused on the concept of cultural appropriation. For the sake of this conversation, I want to make sure we have a shared understanding of this term. Cultural appropriation, in its broadest sense, asks whether we have taken something from outside our own culture and are profiting from it. Even deeper, have we taken that something and moved it out of its original context? Take it even further and ask, have we changed it in any way to make it more palatable for us as white folks? This last question asks us to examine our colonizer mindset and to start decolonizing our practice. Colonization and settler mentality refers to the concept that if I want something, it's mine to have. That if I can control something, it's mine to have. Especially in regards to Black, Brown, Indigenous, and other cultures of the global majority. This is deeply rooted in the white, especially American culture, and is at the heart of this conversation. You will also hear me talk about deprogramming my spirituality in this episode, and this is in reference to the historical appropriation that happened among white cultures in the past, specifically those that the pagan and witchcraft community tend to reference. We often talk about how Christianity stole our traditions, but then we lump every Euro-based culture into one giant pagan lot, with no respect for the difference between, say, Irish and Nordic culture. This is especially true in America, which is a melting pot built on cultural appropriation and appreciation. However, before we can truly deprogram, we must decolonize. In fact, consider that deprogramming is a continued progression of decolonizing. But decolonizing is step one, and for me, the only way forward. I mentioned I would share my learning resources, so for a guide on the journey to decolonize your practice and, well, your life, I highly recommend supporting Rachel Cargill and her hashtag Do The Work series. It's a 30-day free course, but please still find a way to sponsor her work, that takes you through some of the basics of not just cultural appropriation, but also decolonization, that next layer of the proverbial spiritual onion. So let's be honest, there are some moments in this podcast where I walk a very colonizer edge on things, and I certainly have some deprogramming to do as I consistently continue to decolonize my practice. It is a constant journey. Anyway, thus the five or more rewrites on this episode, and consistently asking, should I be the one talking about this? But so many folks seemed lost as to where to begin, so here is the beginning. Here is my beginning, and encouragement to take the first steps on your journey, and a few ways you might start. On first layer of my inspection, and the bare minimum on this path for me, I began to examine my beliefs and practices to be mindful of anything appropriated or colonized from Black, Brown, Asian American, Pacific Islander, and other Indigenous or Eastern cultures. This one is actually huge and rampant in the pagan community and shows up so much. Once I became more aware of it, I really started to cringe at how much we have as a community taken things out of context and very much in an American way created a melting pot of pagan beliefs. We as a community have a lot of work to do. So to get us started, I have created a treasure trove of resources on why you shouldn't use the following terminology. And instead of me repeating the words of others, I want to send you directly to those sources, the communities who are literally asking that we white folks stop appropriating their spiritual beliefs. So if any of these terms are in your practice, please take a moment to check out the resource link in the link tree and find out how you might authentically engage with a source. Now, this is not an extensive list of words or resources. This is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg. But start with words or items like dream catchers, smudging, Palo Santo, white sage, yoga, Buddha, Ganesh, hoodoo, voodoo, voodan, spirit animal, shaman, the G word, which is actually an ethnic slur, so please, please watch that one. So common in the pagan community. Each of these terms holds a very specific place in the culture it originates from, and I guarantee you it's not the whitewashed version of the traditions or items you find in your usual stores, even occult stores. You have to return to the source cultures, even if it takes time to find ways to engage on that level. Pragmatic pause. And the question usually comes up, what if I was initiated into that practice? Or have spent years of study, or feel very drawn to those traditions. Maybe consider these sets of questions. Am I making money off of it or teaching it? If the answer is yes here, this might instigate some deeper reflection. Did I learn about this from an authentic source? Am I approaching it with respect and keeping it in the context to which it belongs? Am I honoring it as I incorporate it? Am I knowledgeable about its source, why I use it, and encouraging myself and others to consistently return to that source? Am I directly providing resources or funding to support the authentic continuation of that community and tradition? Answering yes to anything but the first question is a good start in making sure you are approaching the tradition, belief, and culture with the respect and appreciation it deserves. You may find as you learn more that some practices are considered closed, and you may just have to accept that. To be closed, a practice usually requires a certain heritage, cultural, genetic, or an initiation. It just depends. Most practices aren't completely open either. No one likes to have their beliefs taken out of context, profited off of, or whitened. In any case, go to the source. Learn more. And remember, when you do return to the source, to be mindful, intent, and aware that impact isn't always the same as intent. Learn, grow, do better. Remember to be respectful and approach from a place of authenticity. Do not seek to make money and be careful about teaching instead of directing people directly to the source. Promote and engage authentic supplies and teachers, also from the source culture. Incorporate only while honoring those source authors and intents. That includes financial support. So as I peeled back that first layer of the onion, I was feeling pretty okay. I knew I had work to do, but was feeling good about the scope and understanding. I definitely incorporate terminology from Eastern practices, so I wanted to review and note that dialogue appropriately. Intent and impact are very different, so I'm always open to the feedback on how to do better there. Anyways, was feeling like I had a good understanding and felt confident in doing the work. But then I hit the next layer of this onion and stepped right off of a bit of a proverbial cliff. The one that happens when decolonizing starts to lead to the deprogramming and a bit of a paradigm shift. This next layer goes deep for me. It starts with that last question of cultural appropriation, which is, how am I making this more palatable for white folks? But then it mixes in a good dose of capitalism to gain profit off those changes. You know, we see this throughout history when we hear phrases like popularized by or brought to the Americas by. This colonial mindset that everything is for the taking and that we can culturally appropriate with the excuse of being a melting pot. Now, I want to be clear, you can't get to the point of unpacking this bag until you have decolonized your practice. So start there, because this is a tough pill to swallow, and not everyone will choose to hear the words that I say next. Because they may hit hard in the witchcraft community. In fact, I'm sure this next bit is going to make some folks unhappy. And just remember, this is just my experience and opinion. Do with it as you will. So here goes. In my experience, one of the biggest perpetrators of colonialism, capitalism, and spiritual abduction in the New Age circle is Wicca, a practice popularized in the 1930s and 1950s, and later again in the 1990s. I say this both with love and sadness, as the roots of my practice are in Wicca. It is where I began my journey. Yet time and again, I hit roadblocks, much like the ones I hit this time. As I continued to unearth the history of that craft, I found that so much of that practice is a giant amalgamation of a variety of cultures, all remarketed and rebranded. Not only was it sold to the masses here in America, it was sold back to those original communities from which it took the source material. And because of its prevalence, access, funding, and general colonial white privilege, it overtook authentic, original, deeply rooted knowledge and sources, in some cases making them nearly impossible to find, in others findable, but only as a call for original sources has risen in the last 20 years or so. I find it a bit heartbreaking in a culture losing itself in a rebranded, more palatable version of itself, sold back to its own community, who sees no profit from the appropriation. As I mentioned earlier, this particular practice popularized many traditions that pre-existed in a variety of cultures, and in a true American fashion, melted them down in a melting pot, tossing in some imagination salt, and defined a new wave of interest in the occult. An interest that has been around since ancient Egypt and China, and one that reappears in culture after culture across the globe, often in ways that echo and chase each other. Ritual magic and pagan celebrations from a variety of cultures were tossed into this melting pot, and the result, while good in an intent, I hope, leaves us with a bit of a tangle to undo for those of us socially aware witches. Other aspects are simply the creation of those of the authors and those surrounding them at the time. They took hold, though, and now permeate so many aspects of New Age paganism that it has become the dominant voice. This is where I'm slowly untangling the impacts of my own practice and really evaluating why and where my beliefs come from the 8 cross quarter Sabbats to the colors I associate with life and death. Untangling this nest of settler programming takes work and time. And the onion layers continue to pull back. I started to dig deeper, knowing the roots of my practice and how much New Age spirituality and even our history books don't necessarily tell the whole story. And here's what I'm finding. There are some things that cultures just have in common. Beliefs and traditions around seasons, the sun, the moon, the stars, life and death. Those seem to arise everywhere in so many different forms. Some ideas arose at the same time in different places, others transformed over time as they moved continents. We also see where traditions evolve as cultures evolve, sometimes as a means of getting the locals on board with new ideas. Early examples of colonization and appropriation are everywhere. In some instances, it is only through appropriation that the tradition continued or even survived. And it is only through the doing of work of unearthing the origins that we too can go back to the source. Do the work. So that's what I'm doing. Again and again, I'm pulling up terms, imagery, stories, lore, practices, beliefs, every bit of my practice, and asking, what is the source of this? It's a bit like pulling up the floorboards and asking, where does this come from? And can I embrace it in its entirety? Can I honor its truth? Just because I want something to be a part of my practice does not mean it is mine for the taking. That is a colonial mindset. So when I do answer yes, when I do feel that soul tug that says, yes, you should learn more here, I'm now telling myself to look for that source, the origin. And it's not always easy to find, because here's the thing, you can't just go to a source, you have to go to an authentic source. Someone from that heritage, culture, and lived experience. And because of that cycle of capitalism mixed with colonialism, those voices have been washed over in many cases. It's time to help them make a comeback. And it's also important to me as a white person that I ask, who am I to judge authenticity? Always mindful of never denying someone's lived experience. All I can do is my best. And when I know better, I do better. And as I mentioned before, sometimes the practice is actually just closed. I can respectfully admire the beauty of others' beliefs without engaging. About About a year ago, I listened to Lauren O'Brien's talk entitled, No, You're Not a Celtic Shaman, and just a reminder, she is a founder at the Irish Pagan School. And this talk really started this deeper conversation around spiritual appropriation. Check the resource links for this talk. It's worth the cost. So as I was writing this podcast, I began to engage more with the work of the Irish Pagan School, and as I did, I had this moment of complete pause where I realized that so much of my practice is misappropriated from their lore, all because of that dangerous loop of popularized content which produced a flood of Irish Celtic pagan books based around the lore from folks who had never really lived in Ireland or never really studied its lore or been a part of its culture, or if they did, they made the choice to omit, change, fabricate, and smooth corners to shape the story they wanted to tell, with the Irish community never seeing one drop of benefit. As you start to see how Irish lore is then mixed with Nordic, Celtic, and Druidic lore in a broader sense, it's easy to see the generation of misinformation that floods the pagan marketplace. Enter rewrite number 3, 4, and 5 of this episode. So it is here that I sit and continue to do the work, to look at each part of my practice, from Yule, which is Nordic by name, to Beltane and Samhain, named after Irish festivals. Are these terms I should be using if I'm not partaking in those actual rituals? Or do I need to find what is truly at the heart of my beliefs and build from there? Always being mindful of what, how, and why I incorporate something, and learn its histories, lore, and roots, to engage from a place of intentful awareness and spiritual respect. One thing that did occur to me during this process is how humanity tells its own story through its beliefs. It's how we explain and mark the passage of time. It's how we explain life and death. It is how we manage hardships and find joy and celebration. Time and time again, we have seen spiritual and philosophical leaders pave way to new ideas, new stories of these same characters. So that is where I am, writing a story that echoes my beliefs. And you are welcome to join me, or perhaps you have a story of your own you'd like to write. What now? Now I continue to ask those hard questions, continue to ask what the source of each part of my practice is, and as I find elements that I need to deprogram or decolonize, I will do so, aiming to write my own understanding of this world we live in. What about the podcast? My current philosophy is to return to older episodes, inserting an intro that will direct listeners to better source content, but generally still leaving the content up. Meanwhile, newer episodes will invite you on this journey of how I am working to decolonize and deprogram my practice. Why don't I just walk away? Because I think it's valuable to share this journey. There may come a point where I decide to do that, but not today, my friends. Not today. Talk to you next time. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Pragmatic Pagan. Find this podcast helpful? Then please consider sharing this resource with others. As always, please reach out with any questions or stories you are willing to share, and stay connected by joining me on Patreon or on social media. Links are in the bio. Oh, and don't forget, by following me for free on Patreon, you get access to podcast transcripts and other great free content. Thank you for listening. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, until we merry meet again.